teach our children to say, God is gracious, God is good, and I thank him for this food. Amen. Is this from the Quran? Is this from the Quran? Is this from the Sunnah? Shaitan is just taking part with your child eating. The person who enters his house and doesn't mention the name of Allah, Shaitan says, we have found with you a place of rest. And if he doesn't mention the name of Allah when he eats, he said, I have found a place for rest, and I have found a dinner, and I have found a meal. This is how we develop an Islamic household, brothers and sisters. I guarantee you right now, I don't know, because I don't listen to that crap. I guarantee you right now, I don't know that the artist either. But if I were to ask you, who are the top 10 artists, or the top 20 artists, in the back of the Jet magazine, and I know they're still putting it in there, even though I don't read it, but that's their program. The top 10 Jet magazine hits, and the top 10 artists, I know it's still there, because they're from Shaitan. They got to keep that thing going. I guarantee you, you know the background, you can hum the music, and you know all the lyrics. So if I were to ask you right now to bring one authentic zikr or dua for eating, walking in the house, or leaving the house, I guarantee you couldn't do it. And you say you got an Islamic household. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we're wasting time. We are wasting time. We are wasting our time. And at the same time that we're wasting, we're incurring sin. We are incurring sin. We are incurring sin and the displeasure of Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا خَرَجَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ فَقَالَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ حَسْبُكَ حَسْبُكَ قَدْ هُدَيْتَ قَدْ هُدَيْتَ وَكُفِيتَ وَمُقِيتَ فَيَتَنَحَّى لَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَيَقُولُ لَهُ شَيْطَانٌ آخَرُ كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ قَدْ هُدِيَ وَكُفِيَ وَوُقِيَ. The Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawud in the Tirmidhi, when a person, male or female, leaves his or her house, they should say, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, I put my trust on Allah, there's no strength nor power except for Allah, it will be said to him, that is sufficient for you, you have been guided, you have been defended, you have been protected. Then Shaitan will turn and lean away from that person who says that when they leave the house. And another Shaitan who's squatting will say to that Shaitan who was squatting to catch you before you said it, how and what are you going to do with a person who's been guided, defended, and protected? There's nothing you can do. Just by making those words, just by saying that dua, Shaitan has been you've been defended, guided, and protected from Shaitan. When we leave our houses, we don't say anything. We leave our so-called Islamic houses, we don't say anything. You want your Islam, you want your house to be Islamic? You should have miswak all over your house. You want your house to be Islamic? You gotta buy miswak. Go down to school bookstore or wherever you can buy miswak and put it in your house. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his sunnah from our mother Aisha who said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam idha dakhala baytahu bada'a bis-siwak." When the Messenger of Allah entered into his house, alayhi salatu wasalam, he began using the miswak. So it would be a good practice, brothers, to make a little hole in your misrack, hanging on the side of the door, maybe, to remind you, on the street. And when you come in, say, Bismillah, Assalamu alaikum to your family, take the misrack and start cleaning your teeth. So you can get that reward of revising the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi wasallam, and making your house a household that is Islamic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا إن الشيطان ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. Don't make your houses graveyards. For surely Shaitan flees from the house of which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. This hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. Don't make your houses graveyards. What does this mean? That means that the obligatory prayers for the men is in the masjid. It's not permissible for you, brothers, to pray your five prayers in the house. It's not permissible for you to pray your five prayers on your job or in school unless you are in a situation where you can't get to the masjid. Other than that, it's wajib on you to make your five prayers in the masjid and to make your sunnah. It is recommended to make your sunnahs in the house, so you won't make your houses graveyards. As for the women, it is the best salah for her out of all the salah. So much so that the scholars of Islam are almost unanimously agreed that if she is in the Mecca hotel across the street from the Kaaba, it's better for her to make her salah, even though it's 100,000 times better at the Kaaba, instead of her to stay in the hotel room and make her salat in the hotel room, then go across the street and pray at the Kaaba. That's how important women staying in the house is. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَفَرَّجْنَ تَفَرُّجُ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. And stay in your houses. And don't wear the clothing or have the comportment of the people of the first times of Jahiliyyah. But now, the script has been flipped. The men are in their houses and the women are in the masjid. Don't make your houses graveyards. For surely a shaitan flees from a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. You might say, I don't know Surah Al-Baqarah. I haven't memorized it. The Prophet didn't say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those who remembered it, memorized it, and recited it. He said, those who recite it. So if your wife has proficiency in reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, then let her recite Surah Al-Baqarah. If you have some proficiency in reciting the Quran and reading it, then you should recite Surah Al-Baqarah. If neither one of you know it, and your children know it, let your children recite Surah Al-Baqarah on the house. It doesn't mean the whole surah. It means any part of Surah Al-Baqarah. If you don't have that, then get yourself an audio cassette tape. Or get yourself a CD, and the reciter doesn't matter. It can be Pakistani, Palestinian, black, white, it doesn't make any difference. As long as he's reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. If you want your house to be Islamic, brothers and sisters, play Surah Al-Baqarah, recite Surah Al-Baqarah in your house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iqra'u Surah Al-Baqarah fi buyutikum, fa inna ash-shaytana la yadkhulu baytan yuqra'u fihi Surah Al-Baqarah." This hadith is collected by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. Read Surah Al-Baqarah in your home. For surely, Shaitan does not enter a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is read. You're arguing with your wife. You're arguing with your husband. You're running around the house screaming and saying, Shaitan is in the house! Shaitan is in the house! Lay Surah Al-Baqarah and Shaitan will leave. Unless you are that Shaitan. Unless you are that Shaitan. And then if you play Surah Al-Baqarah, it'll still work. Because Shaitan is Shaitan. We're talking about tonight, brothers and sisters, how to develop an Islamic household. The next topic, ta'lim ahl al-bayt, teaching the members of your house. Teaching the members of your house. It is obligatory that the man teaches his wife. And if he does not have the ability to teach his wife, he has to get a sister to come to that house who can teach his wife Islam. And if he can't find a sister to teach his wife Islam, then he has to let her go to the masjid as long as she observes the hijab. He has to let her go to learn her deen. I'd like to now give 6 etiquettes of learning and gaining knowledge that comes from our Shaykh, Shaykh al-Islam al-Thani, the second Shaykh al-Islam to Ibn Taymiyyah. His name was Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahumallah. These are the 6 advices or 6 etiquettes that he gives for the people who want to learn Islam and gain knowledge. Number 1, asking questions in a good manner. Asking questions in a good manner. Asking questions in a good manner. In other words, brothers and sisters, if you want to become a real student of knowledge, one of the first things you have to do in seeking knowledge is learn how to ask the question. I found this to be a very strange thing among American Muslims. We don't know how to ask the question of what's on our mind. So the person who you point to answer the question is confused. They don't understand what you're saying. Because we haven't even learned how to ask the question right. That's the first thing. The second thing, remaining quiet and listening attentively. Remaining quiet and listening attentively. If you want to gain knowledge, you got to be quiet and learn how to listen. Because if you're back there talking while the sheikh or the student of knowledge is giving the class, how are you going to gain the knowledge? You back there, yes. You don't hear what he's saying. You got a piece of what he was saying. And the person next to you doesn't get any benefit either. Number 3, understanding well. You have to ask Allah, brothers and sisters, to give us understanding of the deen. This is what we have to ask. Understanding well. Number 4, memorizing. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters in Islam, there's a phenomenon that's going to destroy us, that has crept up on us in the past 5 or 6 years. And that is, we have become addicts. Not addicts to crack, not addicts to methadone, not addicts to alcohol. We've become addicts to audio cassette tapes. We buy the tape. No, let me back up. We go to the class. Don't bring a notebook, don't bring a pencil or a pen, and we sit there without any note-taking and buy tapes and don't memorize what the sheikh or the student says. Brothers and sisters in Islam, how can you consider yourself on the path of knowledge? How can you develop your home into an Islamic household and you don't memorize the Quran? You should ashamed of yourself. You've been a Muslim for 20 years and you're boasting, and you don't have five sores with bad tajweed. I'll say it again. 20 years you've been a Muslim, you haven't memorized five sores with bad tajweed. Wallahi al-Azim, brothers and sisters, I was at a masjid one day where the Imam led the Salat like this. I swear by Allah, he led the Salat like this. The Imam, Allah, you ask about? I seek refuge with Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, from the shrek to Shaitan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the world, Master of the Day of Judgment, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Thee alone do we serve, and thee alone do we... In English, which says we, Allah, you ask for. Now, I know that most of us are not like this, but we're not that far from this. 20 years you've been a Muslim, and you know five songs, but you know all the latest hits. You know all the latest journeys. Backwards and forwards. You wake up on music. That's why you can't memorize. When your alarm clock goes off, it's Kiss FM. You go to sleep on Kiss FM. All through the house, vacuuming, cleaning, cooking. Kiss FM. Or whatever the famous radio stations are that's pumping that shaitanic poetry. The Quran of Shaitan. How do you expect to memorize the Book of Allah when you have embalmed in your brain? How do you expect to memorize the Book of Allah when you listen to the Biggie Smalls? How? How do you expect to memorize the Book of Allah, brothers and sisters in the chair? How? When you listen to music. Have you ever realized, have you ever thought, just what? Why is it taking me so long to memorize? Why is it taking me so long to memorize one verse? Number five, teaching. Once you gain a little bit of knowledge, brothers and sisters, you have to teach what you know. People are always asking me, like I'm some scholar, to really show you how far off the Muslims are. They think Daoud Abib is a scholar. That just goes to show you how dismal the Muslim situation is here in this city, or in this state, or anywhere in the United States. They actually believe that I'm a scholar. If that doesn't show you how far off we are, you don't know. I'm not a scholar. Brothers and sisters ask me all the time, Daoud, how is it you memorize all those verses? And how is it that you memorize all those hadiths? After the mercy of Allah, brothers and sisters, is because I teach all the time. I try to make my job, my occupation, teaching classes. Because after the mercy of Allah, brothers and sisters, there's no way in the world I can keep all this stuff in my head unless I keep giving it up. Keep giving it up. Keep giving it up. One of the best ways to gain knowledge, brothers and sisters, is to teach it. Sit down with your families, brothers. Turn off the TV. I really want to tell you to take a brick and throw it at the screen. But I don't want to seem like a fanatic. Just turn off the TV. At least in Ramadan, how can you consider yourself speakers of knowledge, teaching your family? You break your fast after 14, 15 hours, 16 and a half hours of fasting, or less or more. You go home, and you turn on the TV. And you consider yourself fasting, sitting there looking at, what are the names, Heidi Tom? How can you say you fasted? Oh, it's nighttime, I see. Puffing a cigarette, looking at TV. And you call that an Islamic household. But it's not daytime anymore, I see. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if we want to make our homes Islamic, we have to teach our families and teach the Muslims what we learn, even if it's one ayah. And lastly, and this is the fruit of teaching, acting upon the knowledge and keeping within its limits. Acting upon what you taught and keeping within its limits. And with that, we're going to end it with some questions, inshallah, and there will not be any questions after the salah, inshallah. We're going to let everyone go home and not belabor the issue so they can start developing their homes into Islamic homes. Inshallah. So they can go home and start implementing some of these things. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who implement what we learn. I'm going to turn around now, inshallah, to see if there's anything in the bucket from the sisters. Alhamdulillah, the sisters are upstairs now. The questions come down from this nice Islamic shoot. Oh. And I call it Islamic because it is a shoot used to get closer to Allah by the questions of our women. Alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again to make us of those who don't say things with our tongues that we're going to regret. Because a person will say something with his tongue that he has no concern of the weightiness of it, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it will send him into the hellfire for a period of 70 autumns, 70 fall seasons long. The thing that we say with the tongue that we don't take any weightiness for it whatsoever. First question from the sisters, just came down from the chute. You stated that if you say Bismillah for entering and eating, the shaitan says he has no place for rest or meal. Does this mean if you throw food away, you are not feeding the shaitan? Because you said Bismillah when eating and entering? No, this does not mean that. Throwing food away, of course, is a reprehensible act in Islam. You should stay away from wasting the food. If we forget, by the way, that to say the Bismillah or the appropriate dua, because it's more than just Bismillah, but we can say Bismillah, that'd be sufficient, Alhamdulillah. If we forget to say Bismillah, shaitan will eat with us. But the Prophet said, if the person remembers before they finish eating and drinking saying Bismillah, and he says, Bismillah awwaluhu wa akhiruhu, then shaitan throws up in his stomach when he ate with you. If you remember, before you finish eating, and you say, Bismillah awwaluhu wa akhiruhu, in the name of Allah, at the beginning and the end, then shaitan, whatever he ate, Allah causes him to throw up when he ate with you. It seems as though, here's another one. This thing reminds me of those chutes in the office building where you put the lamp. This is a question of behavior in the masjid. Can you please explain the etiquette of behavior in the masjid for brothers and sisters and their children? Inshallah, we're going to discuss this in the future, in the very near future, because we don't have time right now. The subject is Islamic households. So we're just going to, if you allow us, we're going to leave this question, put it in the box where the questions go, if you have a box, I don't know, but we should get one, inshallah. And we're going to deal with this in a separate topic on the etiquette of the masjid. Right now we're talking about the house. No.
One of the things that you mentioned about having chicken in our household is our faith. And also, I was reading a book concerning the music, and in reading this book, the author...
A house where there's no gates in it is like a house where the inhabitants of that house are hungry. You can have all the stuff you want, but it's highly recommended to have gates in your house. And I don't see any more questions from the sisters, so I'm assuming that that's it. No.
Can you give a translation from the hadith where you said that for a brother to back by his brother is stronger than men with your mother?
No, the hadith that we mentioned were the hadith of riba. That the least part of riba is like having sex with your mother. And the worst part of riba is dishonoring your brother. So dishonoring your brother is that bad. Inshallah, I'll give it to you at the Quran. Any other questions about this? No.
Say you have somebody in your house, be it your wife or someone who's living with you, a niece or something, who is new to Islam, just took their Shahada and such, you know, who seem like pretty weird folks to them. Do you have any advice on how to, do we A, you know, try to bring them along slowly, or, you know, because I just have like a thing about it that says you don't want to beat up somebody with a lot of hadith that they don't, that they're just not ready for yet.
You're talking about a person who lives with a kuffar living in their home.
But they recently took their shahada. So they're not familiar with Islam. They're trying. But, you know, for example, say they're, you know, you have a lot of pictures around the house. It's permissible to have the pictures in a drawer or something like that. Is that right?
Well, for the first thing, I think you're mentioning about a person who's living with a new shahada.
Right.
The best thing that I would tell you in a nutshell is a person who's living with someone who just took shahada is the best way to deal with it is just your action. It's just be the best Muslim that you can for the pleasure of Allah. Not to bring them into the closest to Islam, but for the pleasure of Allah. And then, to let them see that this is Islam. Instead of talking so much, just be a good Muslim. Ask for the pictures in an album or otherwise. So I am now saying that even that's not permissible. Those who mention the hukum of pictures in the house say the pictures is better for you to get rid of the album altogether. That's what they say, and Allah knows that. I don't think there's any more questions from the sisters. There's one more, and now.
First one on the
we're 3 minutes over the time for the philosophy to say there, so inshallah.
First one on the emptiness of learning, and you mentioned about asking questions, and in doing that, I think we should be fortunate about asking too many questions.
Yes. He mentioned about the first of the six etiquettes of learning and getting knowledge of how to ask the question. He said we should also mention asking too many questions. We ask too many questions. And of course, asking too many questions is going to be relative to the person. Because some people may be new in Islam and they need to know. And you know when you ask too many questions. And you know when you're trying to cause problems. And Allah knows better than you. These are the last two questions from the sisters. You say that the worst thing is to dishonor your brother and sister in Islam by means of backbiting, etc. How should one address someone who calls you a criminal when they themselves are criminals? Is it possible? This is an important question. Can we just wait for the event, just 2 minutes? Inshallah, is it okay? Okay, call the event. He's going to call the event and then we answer the question, inshallah. I'm going to answer this question, inshallah, these last two questions from the sisters. The first one, the sister said, you stated, the worst thing is to dishonor your brother or your sister, like, for instance, in backbiting. How should one address someone who calls you a criminal when they themselves are criminals or sinners? That is sinners. Before we answer this question quickly, I'd like to say that there is a principle in enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. And I hope that the brothers, inshallah, just let me get your attention for a minute, brothers. Brothers. Just let me get your attention for a minute, please, if possible. Because this is a very important principle that I think most of us, probably the vast majority of us, are not aware of. In the principle of al-amr bil-ma'roof, when nahi an al-munkar, enjoying the good and forbidding the evil, it has four aspects. Enjoining in the good and forbidding the evil has four aspects. Number one, enjoining the good on yourself and forbidding the evil on yourself. Enjoining the good on others and forbidding the evil on others, from others. But at the same time, you are obligated to enjoy the good on others, even though you don't enjoy the good yourself. And you are obligated to forbid the evil of others, even though you don't forbid the evil on yourself. This is not hypocrisy. This is not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in the English language is not what is hypocrisy in Islam. The scholars of Islam, like Imam al-Nawawi, who wrote Riyad al-Salihin, he and others say that the principle of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil is so important that if you are drinking alcohol and the person who's drinking alcohol is sitting right next to you with you, you are obligated to hold his hand from drinking the alcohol, even if you were drinking it yourself. This is Islam. But in our mind, because we don't know this principle, we say that person is a hypocrite. How can he tell me to wear a khimar and stop wearing my ears out, which is haram? To have your ears out, sister, is haram. To have your neck showing is haram. To have your feet showing is haram. To see the size of your bones is haram. To see the color of your skin to your clothes is haram. 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 To wear perfume outside is haram. To wear lipstick outside with makeup is haram. If you know the brother smokes reefer, he is obligated to tell you you can't do that, even though he's smoking reefer. Because enjoying the good is on yourself and others, even if you're not doing it. And forbidding the evil is obligation on you, even if you're not doing it. And Allah knows best. So if the person is calling you a sinner, and you are, that's a khimar or a kufi you have to wear. At the same time, that person who's doing that, doing a crime similar or different from yours, they should abandon their own sin. But that's not, but that doesn't mean that they can't tell you not to abandon yours. You understand, brother? So if a person's not praying, or a person's not fasting in Ramadan, and you're not, if he's not praying, and you're not fasting Ramadan, he has the right to tell you to fast in Ramadan. And you don't have the right to say, you can't tell me that, because you don't even pray. No. You have to tell him, you're right, Aki, I should be fasting Ramadan, and you should pray. You don't have the right to tell him he can't tell you, or she can't tell you. Because if that was the case, as Imam al-Nawawi said, if we had to wait for everybody to be correct before they enjoin the good and forbid the evil, sin and corruption would take over. Which of us is sinless? So we can say now, I can tell you what to do and nobody can say anything to me. There's nobody like this. This is ridiculous to think. I'm not saying the person who sent the note is ridiculous. I'm not saying the person who sent the note is ridiculous. I'm saying it's ridiculous to think that you have to be without sin to tell somebody to stop committing a sin. This is a trick from Shaitan. And the last question before we pray, when there is no firm foundation, such as male role models, how are sisters to raise and deal with their sons until Allah makes it so that there is a male figure? In other words, how should single women handle their sons? I tell you, sister, this may not sit right with you, but some sisters, I don't totally agree with brothers taking other sisters' sons out, like a big brother thing. I don't totally agree with it. I see some defects in it. I'm not saying it's totally wrong. Some of us do this. But I see some defects in sisters giving their sons to brothers to take them out. And we don't have time to discuss those, the defects that I personally see in it. But what I would suggest is that the imam of the masjid should be confronted with the situation, and that that sister should strongly, after standing up at night in tahajjud and fasting and begging Allah, she should strongly consider getting or looking for marriage. Okay. I cannot understand why a sister would be turned off if she's been married 2, 3, 4 times and they went bad, or she got a raw deal or whatever, would make her not want to get married again, but still wants a male figure to look after her children or her son. I would advise that sister to ask Allah to stand up at night and ask Allah to give her a good husband, and along with that, talk to the imam of their respective masjid so that they can confront their imam, so their imam can deal with the situation of single sisters who have sons who need role models. But the ideal situation is to advantageously and zealously look for a husband. Because in reality, the brothers are not responsible for your sons. In that sense, they're not responsible for your sons. And some of them, out of the goodness of their heart, neglect their own sons taking care of your sons. And this is not fair. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you, sister, you specifically, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the best of husbands in this life.
Ameen.
Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to specifically you, sister, to give you the best husbands in this life.
Ameen.
And we ask you, oh Allah, to give this sister who asked this question the best of husbands in this life. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.